What's on your mind today?
So I wrote down three. Well, I told you what was on my mind. That's what was on my mind today. I'll share a success. I do have, you said write down three questions. I'll share three questions, but I thought I'd share a success story first since I shared a sob story. I'll share a success story now. So the realtor that we're personal friends, we've been in Bible study, we've known each other for a long time, and I've referred him to several clients. He's helped them walk through real estate deals. In fact, we've got two working right now. But anyway, and I had offered to walk him through our process before, which we did a little bit, but could never get his wife involved. Still can't get his wife involved. She doesn't have any interest in wanting to meet. And finally, I just accepted that. He's like, she just wants me to do everything. She doesn't want to be involved. And so, but the success story is that he asked to walk back through our three-meeting process just because I was sharing with him for some other people, and here's what we do. And so we went through the process, and last Friday was our third meeting, which is normally our signing meeting where they make a decision. Hey, you want to move forward with us? And, you know, we sign everything, or you don't want to move forward with us, and we wish you the best and no hard feelings, you know, and wish you the best. And so we always have the paperwork ready, you know, for them to sign the financial planning agreement as well as for the investment advisory agreement. So if they move forward, they just sign here, press R, we're ready to go, you know. But in addition to that, I had both of the folders ready, you know,
Oh.
with his name on it, right? So I already had his name and his information in the folder, right? I had my folder in his folder. And so, you know, I said, so I guess the only question is, you know, are you ready to move forward in a relationship with us, you know? And so that's a good question. Blah, blah, blah. And so I said, well, if we move forward, and I hand the folder, here's what the process will be. You know, we've got a little bit of paperwork here. Sign this, and then here's your folder. And I walked him through, and then he had a bunch of, he's a little more analytical than most of my clients, but he asked about, oh, well, who's, and he asked about, like, well, you know, because I have a chart that shows you're the client, we're the advisor, and here's all the subject matter experts. He said, so who fits in this role? And I said, well, actually, it's right here on the list. So I opened the book. I said, that's this person. That's this person. Oh, well, who's this person? Well, that's the financial plan. Oh, okay, great. He's taking notes and everything. Now, so I still believe it's a success story because, and of course, this is why I always don't like it when people say, oh, no, my wife says, you know, delegate everything to me. I'm going to make all decisions. Or the wife says, no, delegate. And then it never fails. You get to the end to make a decision. They go, well, I need to talk to my wife. Well, I need to talk to my husband. But you know what? That's bull. You told me from the get-go you're going to make all decisions. But that did sort of happen. He did say, well, and then he saw the paperwork too. He goes, man, you're all ready. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm just telling you know, being a realtor, any contracts you ever sign, I'm going to have to read through them all. So you might as well just give those to me. But he said, I at least need to run this at the flagpole by my wife. I'm committed to 16,000, 10,000 financial planning fee, and then 6,000 a year for coaching fees. If I don't commit to 16,000 a year, I need, at least need to run that by her. And so I said, well, that's fine. You know, you told me that, I said it in a little nicer way, right? You know, you told me that she delegated all this to you, so it's your decision. I respect that you need to at least run it by her. The downside for us is she hasn't had the benefit of sitting through
Right.
all that we do. And so if you just say, hey, $16,000, how do you feel about that? She's going to say, that sounds like a lot of money, you know, and not see the benefit. So figure that. But what I would say is he took the contracts with him. We made a follow-up meeting before he left to come
Good.
back, in-person follow-up meeting. And he said he left with his red folder and he said, I'm really excited. I'm really excited about this.
He did.
And yeah, he said, I'm really excited about creating a plan. Because I talked to him about this about 5 years ago and he didn't take any action, right? And so he's not in a really different place today, you know, in terms of getting towards his outcomes than he was 5 years ago, because he doesn't have a plan. He's just kind of, I mean, he's successful and he's doing well and he's got, you know, so, but I think that's a good success story because one, now instead of just the contracts, now he's got something tangible with his name on it, right? A real folder and, you know, the different people. And so that's my success story.
It's really good because people want to feel like they have a part in the process. It's not just about you, it's about them. Right? And here's your fault, you know, there's an actual takeaway. You know, you get a house when you close.
That's
With us, you get a folder. It's not quite as big as a house, but it's
I feel good that he's going to move forward. He just, most of my clients are not as analytical as he is, and he's very analytical. And some of those clients, you know, you almost have to do the takeaway close. Well, why don't you think about it, sleep on it, and then let me know,
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that takeaway is a, you know, like, we're fine. We're doing great. Yeah. And we'd love to have you, but, you know.
So that's my success story for the week that I feel good about. And it was kind of funny because I had told Shelley, I said, for that meeting, I said, why don't you go ahead and do the folders too? You know, not just the paperwork. She goes, you want me to do the folders too? I go, yeah, I think it's a good idea. You know, we already got his information. I know a lot about him. Just go ahead and put it. You know, I think it'll help. And then sure enough, it was very helpful.
I told you about that case where the guy, right.
Yeah.
It's weird. $60 million, you know? So
you only need one of those in your career for that to pay off.
Well, the fun thing is it's $100 million now.
Yeah, that is fun.
You know, when you bring in a $6 million, it goes to 10, that's good. But 60 that goes to 100, that's better.
Yeah. Another advisor I know told me about a young guy that got $100 million and he made a mistake of letting it go to 60 and he lost the account. It was back before gas prices, you know, natural gas prices tanked. And the guy told him he didn't ever need, you know, this was never money. He never planned on using it, da, 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 da. You know, then gas, you know, natural gas prices tanked. He went to look at his account. The market was down and the guy had invested it pretty aggressive, you know, and it was down 40%. And he yanked it from the advisor because now he needed income. Good lesson about nobody ever fires you for underperformance, but people routinely fire you for losing a lot of money.
Yeah, no, that's right. No, that's right. You can. So you want to, the lesson is, you know, perform. You know, you're a professional. So, you know, your performance is kind of like surgery. It's a grant. You're going in for heart surgery. You hire the best and you go in and get surgery. So you must perform. Mm-hmm. But you don't want the patient to die.
That's right. That's right. Well, I always tell people, one of my promises to them is I'll always tell them the truth no matter what in love. Sometimes the truth hurts a little bit at first when you hear it, but I'll always tell it to you in love.
No, that's right. That's right. Okay, three questions.
All right. So, and I even shared, so Jason is a realtor I visited on Friday. So he's both a subject matter expert, and I think you call him something, centers of influence. He's a center of influence, subject matter expert. Because before this, he'd actually told me about it. He said, you know, I have somebody that is looking at properties with me, and I'm trying to figure out how I would introduce you to her. Her ex-husband was very successful, but he's a narcissist, which is why he's your ex-husband. They built a lot of wealth together, and she now has half. And, like, you know, she's thinking about buying a waterfront house. She lives in Austin. She's thinking about buying a waterfront house for somewhere between $1 to $3 million, but she doesn't know if that's good stewardship. And, you know, and she's a believer, and I know that she has an advisor probably, but not someone that's a believer and, you know, she could trust like you that looks everything from the big picture and even from a spiritual perspective of stewardship and things like that. So I haven't got the introduction yet, but that comes into the fact that when we were talking about his account and talked about the different ways we charge, we have four different ways to charge: financial planning fees, assets under management, coaching fees, or one-time consulting fee if it was like a 1031 exchange on a big, big property, like $5 million property, I would just charge them one time. So the two that applied to him was financial planning and the coaching. And so he said, well, why couldn't you just pay the financial planning? And I said, well, because that's only $10,000 a year and it's $5,000 up to a million. Then it's $10,000 flat fee for over a million up to 100 million, still $10,000. I said, but you don't have any investable assets. Those are all tied up in other things, real estate. So our target minimum is $20,000. That wouldn't meet the target minimum. And I said, you'd still be under that at $16,000 a year. But I do that for my business clients because the only other way I could chart, since you don't have asset under management, I'd have to get a valuation on your business every year and recalculate every year and charge you a percentage of that. I think it's just simpler to just charge you a flat monthly fee for helping you with your business. And he goes, oh, okay. So I said, you know, in his case, I said, look, our target minimum is $20,000. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, we have some clients that are paying us less than $20,000, never work with more than 70 households. And he said, how many are you working with now? And I said, we're working with 55 households now, so we still have some room. And he said, well, what's the target minimum? And I said, well, if we were ranking in order of revenue, I'm not going to, when we get to 70, right, I'm not going to add 71 unless I deduct, you know, one. So I'm not going to add a new client that's paying me less than the lowest client, right? He's like, oh, yeah. I said, so 20,000 would be our minimum. Then we'll be up in that periodically. You know? So I guess my question was, who do I share that absolute minimum maximum with, since technically he's a center of influence? Or I didn't say that 10,000 was our absolute minimum, but I thought I would save that for the next conversation if it came to that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, yeah, because you want to charge him 16, so you don't want to say I accept 10, because then he'd say, well, I want to pay 10, you know?
Right.
So, but in terms of, so for him, I would say that my average is 16, but my target is 20, if that's what you're comfortable with. You know, if you're ready to raise it to 25, that's fine. But wherever your target is, the top 20% of your practice, that's your target. And that's right. That's what you're after. But, in his case,
it's like who you share what your absolute minimum with is and who you don't share that with.
I would share it with any center of influence. And in the end, wouldn't you like every client to be a center of influence?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I agree at that point. Yeah. Right.
So, you know, people like to be in under the tent sometimes. Now, some people, you know, that are, you know, that fees are a big issue. You may not want to spend much time on that, and they're not going to be a center of influence and so on and so forth. But when somebody, you know, is a good guy and they want to help, then you want to know what they do, what their minimums are, the total number of clients they want, what are their specialties, you know, all those questions that we talked about.
All right. This is a little, I guess this will flow in, even though it wasn't right here on one of my three questions, and I think I've polished this a little bit more. I made a mistake when I was talking to some other clients of ours a couple weeks ago that were giving me some more assets, right? Because the other advisor at the bank was retiring, and I may have shared this with you, but the wife said, we never hear from him. He never calls us. You know, we don't have appointments with him. You know, you call us regularly just to see how we're doing. You send us cards. You know, we get together with you. We have regular scheduled meetings. We have plans. And the only time we've had an appointment with him was when we invested the money, and now he wants a second appointment now that he's leaving to meet the new guy. And we don't have any interest in meeting the new guy, you know. And so we just want to move all this to you because you're doing a great job. And I was like, thanks. And so I had introduced Supernova to them and showed them the folders, which they were all in. Like, and I said, so, you know, we're only going to, our minimum is $1 million. And I said, so the good news is you make the cut. And he said, oh, that's good. And somewhere in there, I think I had said we're never working more than 70 households. And I think he said something like, well, how does that work? And I said, well, you know, we're always adding or deleting. And I should have, and I realized that was probably not the right word, deleting. I said, and I think I corrected a little bit then, like, well, you know, we're always gaining or losing. Sometimes people die and their kids live far away and we don't have a relationship, or, you know, stuff happens, right? You know, occasionally relationship doesn't work out, but that's rare. I feel like I answered a little bit better with Jason when he said, what do you do when you get to 70? And I said, well, when we get to 70, I wouldn't take any new clients on unless they were paying me more than my minimum. Right. I wouldn't take them on at less than a minimum. And then I would have to find someone else for that client that wasn't meeting our minimum. And I have another advisor that I like and trust that I would just refer them to. I said I could bring someone else in house and hire another advisor. But at this point in my life, it's just simpler to give that to someone else that would do a good job and they would appreciate them. So I'd be curious on if you had any input on how to massage that.
It's sometime down the road here, especially where you're independent entrepreneur, you probably are going to need a more definitive partnership.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of reasons. One is that the answer to that question. And the second is how do I say it? The progression, you know, when turnover of your practice, when you retire, what are you going to do?
Sure. Yeah.
People are now you're young and they're not going to answer that question, but to the banker, the guy that retired and now, you know, he didn't have any succession planning and he never included them. And so when he retires, the retention rate on those accounts would be like zero.
Right.
And you know, you want to just kind of be going around town, finding out who he did business with and just picking those people off. I don't know if your new client or your existing client that's going to move assets to you knows who else did business with them, but anybody that did business with them is, that would be the easiest sale in America.
Well, when I mentioned about the folder and our minimum, the wife said, do you know anybody else that has $1 million or more invested? I said, he goes, well, most of the guys that I play golf with, they have at least $1 million or $2 million, maybe $3 million. You know, they're all in that range like we are. And so I'll definitely keep that in mind. So that planted the seed there. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. You know, people ask me, when do you ask for introductions? And the answer is when the client has demonstrated a appreciation for the value of what you're offering. Mm-hmm. Okay. So value is only an issue, or price is only an issue in the absence of value. So you've demonstrated real value. So even though, you know, they may not have been a center of influence and have not referred you to in the past, you ask them, because they're thinking, they're making the decision. I mean, I always, people say, when should I ask for an introduction? I can't ask when they first opened the account. And I said, well, when were you the most...
Sometimes.
Yeah, I said, did I give you the answer? When were you the most excited about your car?
Yeah, first got it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the only time you ever take a picture of the car. It's when you first buy it. And so they're most, why is that? That's a, psychologically, that's a really interesting thing to spend a second on. The answer is because they want to have somebody else reinforce their decision.
Right. That's right.
And so if they refer a friend,
that's really good. Yeah, I like him. I see why you picked him.
Right. So if they reintroduce a friend of yours, of theirs, and then they buy, then it's clear to them that they really did make a good decision.
Yes.
So if they don't buy, you want to make it clear as to why, you know, in your opinion, they didn't buy. Because people would be like, what's wrong? You know, we saw what was right. Why didn't they? And, you know, all confidentiality precludes you from saying much, but you can just say, you know, I just didn't think it was a good fit. Right? And then they feel better. Okay. It isn't because you suck. Anyway, okay, was that three or is that two?
I think it was two. The third, I kind of worked that in, folders and calls. So I guess I was just going to say, so we have 55 households. I'm trying to get all the households to have their folders and all the calls set up by January. Do you think that's realistic, or is that, am I being too difficult on my staff? Or
no, that's folders? Fine. Great. Everybody likes to have a fresh target. You know, look, goals in the absence of a deadline are simply a wish.
That's true. Someday is code word for never.
Right. So it could be April by the time, if you don't make a deadline.
That's a good one.
Right?
Right.
Of course, we'll get done by the first quarter. And so what did you do in between? I don't know. Just went away. So well, it's like,
I normally schedule all my meetings for the year at the end of the year in December or 1st of January anyway with clients.
Because we do but, in the past. You're not gonna do that anymore. They're gonna be spaced out evenly now.
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying it's not onerous because we normally do reach out to the clients with
And
their
one of the other things to think about is, okay, if you're really giving them a present,
right?
You're giving them a lot more for their money. So what a great time to be doing it over the holidays. Here's my gift to you this year.
I always do send a Christmas gift to all my clients. So, but yeah, that's another, I mean,
just a good way to think about it.
I mean, I knew I wouldn't get any pushback. I mean, why would you? Hey, it's like you said, we're going to upgrade you to first class on this flight. No, I'm not doing that. I'm sitting back here in coach. I hate first class. It sucks. Right. I don't like all the free drinks and the comfy seats and the attention to service and the hot towel rags. Can't stand that stuff.
You know. Well, you know, it's because they've never been up there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's the only reason they'd say no. It's because they don't know what it's going to be like. And they're like, I'm good. Don't, you know, change. Change is hard. And I'm good right here.
I always tell people it's never too late to trade different for better. It's always good. Never too late to trade different for better.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it, huh?
So yeah, I mean, I am excited about the folder system because of it's tangible, it's real. And I feel like it's a tool that I can better use to prospect with that where a gap that I've had in the past is the financial roadmap experience in our 3-meeting process is really unique, but it's hard to really verbalize it because most people never experienced it. Right. And so I think the folder system, the 12-4-2, the folder system, it helps me verbalize and visualize to people how we're different, what we do.
Yeah, I mean, the 3 meetings is very good because people want to know things. They leave because, and I may forget one of these, but there's 3 things that they typically want. They want you to know who they are.
Right.
Right? They want you to listen to them. And you want to, they want to know that you care about them.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. Know them. Unless you do a financial plan, you can't prove that you're listening until you have the agenda and they come back and put in there something that they want to talk about. And it appears on the agenda or, before you start, we have the agenda, but before we get into the agenda, what's on your mind? You know, let's talk about your agenda first. Just, I'm listening, I'm hearing, and I care what you think. I care about you as a person. It's really important, and it's hard to demonstrate that, but that's when you call when they've lost their puppy or you send a card or you know. It's just being a friend. Some people don't know how to be a friend. Mm-hmm. They just don't know. It's just not in their nature, you know. And a lot of that's it's all cultural. It's all how you're brought up.
That's true. Well, it's corny, but it's true. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And I always remember there was an advisor when I first started. There was a bank advisor that I used to be in Lions Club with, and he was the nicest guy. He wasn't the best advisor. He didn't have a great system of contacting people and calling people, but he was just the nicest, genuine, nicest guy, right? And I was a little younger and probably more aggressive at the time and a little more sales-driven, a little less. I was still people-driven, but, you know, I was a little more focused and sometimes, you know, I did obviously better than him financially, but I could never take accounts away from him. People would just say, like, even people that give me money, they would say, Don is just so nice. I just can't move my account from him. He's just I wouldn't be able to face him in the grocery store. He's just the nicest guy, you know? And I've never forgotten that, you know, that people just liked him. It wasn't that he was the great guy. It wasn't his investment. They agreed, like, yeah, his investment performance isn't all that great. And I'm sure you could do better. And da-da-da. He's just a nice guy. I really like him.
Well, we all have our gifts. And my brother was amazing at being a good friend. Everyone abandoned somebody and he'd stay with them. you know, somebody be dying and he would see him every week, you know, go see him every Friday. And it just was his nature. He just, he was, and the women loved him. He just did all women. He just was, you know, women like men typically. And, you know, women want to do business with women until it's their money. And then they want to do business a lot of times with a man. And he took care of them and listened to them and took them out to lunch. He had a 95-year-old, the former governor of the state's wife. He'd take her out to lunch once a month. She's 95. He was like her son, you know?
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we're both from the same family and we grew up in exactly the same culture and we couldn't be more different now. I mean, we both are buddies and, you know, we got so much history, but he just was a different, not driven, not focused, just sweet, loved Supernova, but would never do it. Had a million accounts. You know,
doesn't say no to anybody. Yeah,
doesn't say no to anybody. And, you know, he worked hard, but it was never important to him.
Right.
You know,
it's funny. I mean, and you can see that probably with your own kids and with clients that have three or four kids. They're all different. You know,
it's crazy. You know, my son couldn't be more different. You know, I try to get him to understand money and no interest. Works. I said, you're exchanging hours for dollars. I said, you can't build wealth that way. Oh, Dad, we'll be fine. My daughter, she gets it. Never spends anything, puts it all in the market, made a bunch of money, smart. Saves. Courtney, do you need this? Can I buy it? Nope. Dad, I'm fine. I'm good. My son, anything he can get. Always very appreciative, but never says no.
That's like this pretty wealthy guy I know that one time we went to lunch, I bought lunch and he's like, no, I get it. I was like, no, really, I'll buy lunch. He's like, you serious? I was like, yeah. He goes, well, thanks. He goes, nobody ever buys me lunch. I'm always expected to buy. It doesn't matter where we go.
Right. And my, you know, my son-in-law will buy lunch occasionally. It's like, what? You know, he'll sneak it in there. Like I used to do with my father-in-law.
Right.
I took him to Bermuda one time and I gave him jackets and ties and a white shirt to go with it, you know, a blue blazer and a tie and a jacket. And I think I gave him, I gave him cufflinks to go with it, with the shirt, you know, that were, one was Dad played bridge. So it was, you know, bridge cufflinks and Brayton was something else. And I gave him, and they were just like, this is crazy.
It's they were to be generous.
They were the era of, you know, they loved to get, they always wear a coat and tie to everything. And
my grandmother used to make my grandfather wear a coat and tie to fly on Southwest Airlines. I mean, he had to wear, you know, they had long been retired and he would have to put a coat and tie on to fly in the airplane, even though it was Southwest Airlines. They wouldn't save him a seat, but he was wearing a coat and tie.
That was, our parents would die if they, my parents would die if they see Southwest Airlines now with these kids getting on, hardly dressed, you know?
That's right.
I'm in their pajamas. Anyway, so the 24-month calendar, you get that?
Yeah, I get it. Any insight or any advice on like commentary or just
don't try and do too much. If you see, Over that 24 months, I had 8 new ideas. And most of those, I tend, you know, many are calendar driven. There may be 1 month calendar driven outlook for the year, et cetera, and RMD at the end of the year. So those are all calendar driven. But when I say 8 new ideas, like long-term care, and when you introduce long-term care, carry it over for 2 months. And I'm typically talking to people that don't do as much financial planning, so they capture the low-hanging fruit.
Sure.
They manage the assets and the liabilities and don't do the insurance and long-term care and estate planning. So we batch process that together, introduce it, and then give you a month. So if you had typically had 100 clients, 10% would say yes. And so you've got to follow up on that 10%. And so you don't want to jam yourself up too much with too many new topics that overlap with each other. You're still working on mortgages, and now you've got to work on long-term care, and you're making your team and yourself crazy. So that's why we went to that. And we did it as an office. And so it, you know, you can create some log jams. So, you know, that's one of the reasons we went to the 2 month thing.
Speaking of that, I think I already know the answer, but I'll get your input. So, you know, we don't get comp. I have a good mortgage broker that we work with, right? He's always appreciative when I refer him business. He hasn't referred me any business. Part of it is he's in Dallas. We're in the Austin area. You could refer me business,
yep.
But you know, we don't take any fees, right? Which makes our business model cleaner. Like I don't receive, you know, referral fees, and I don't give referral fees. And I kind of like it that way because it's simpler and cleaner, and there's no conflict of interest.
I agree.
I just think I should just keep it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a, you know, Bill Cates was talking about, you know, referral fees because I referred him a few people and he's referred me a few people. And I just don't want to get into, you know, who's referred more and what are the revenues and da 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 da. I'd rather, and I don't want it to be a conflict of interest, right? I'm referring you because I'm getting paid.
Right.
It just makes that a little impure.
That's the way I feel. Confirms that.
Yeah. So that here's what I would do. I'd still do the 24-month calendar, and I'd still do mortgages.
Right.
And as an education piece. You know, this is what you can do. You can do securitized loans. You can do mortgages. Just should know that these are things that are available to you.
Okay.
And you know, what's the most efficient use of your capital? Just treat yourself like a company. You want to be borrowing at the lowest possible rate. And this is a lot cheaper than this. And, you know, so tell me where all your debt is and tell me where your kids' debt is and how much of it is there.
Of course, in a lot of cases, we already know all this. There's a few cases we don't. Maybe not the kids, but we certainly do with the parents.
Yeah, because kids graduate and they have, you think the parents are funding the bill. And no, kids had student loans, you know. There's 50,000 of student loans from the mom and dad, and there's 50,000 from the kid.
Yeah.
You know, a kid graduates from college and has got 50 grand of debt, you know.
Oh, and there's a lot of people have $300,000-$400,000 of student debt. Ridiculous.
Yeah, they get their PhD in social science.
Yeah.
And they're going to work for the government.
Yeah.
And $300,000 of debt.
Makes no sense.
Work for the state. I'm a social worker. And yeah, I'm a Dr. Smith. And you got $300,000 of debt and you got no chance. Well, if I work till I'm XYZ, the government will forgive me. You know, well, that's great. So you're carrying $300,000 of debt for the next 30 years.
Ridiculous.
No, where you could go to a community college and then the college of your choice for 2 years and graduate from, you know, SMU or whatever you want to pick as your best college, and you get the brand, but you didn't spend $40,000, $60,000 a year on.
Or 100. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
For your basic classes. I have the meeting tomorrow with the today's the 7th, yeah. So the meeting, it was supposed to be last week and we had a schedule conflict, but the meeting with the virtual planner, I've got that tomorrow. So I feel good about that already. So
oh, great.
I went ahead and put him on the back already because I'm planning on doing business with him. So I went ahead and put him on the sheet, you know, on the bio.
That's good. I'm really curious. And you can tell me more about that sometime and how that works. And
yeah,
because I think it's pretty cool.
It is. I've used a couple of virtual planners in the past. It does free up a lot of time and energy. For sure, if you can get it down right.
Well, you know, as I do business with more independents, that kind of stuff becomes valuable to me.
For sure. So is Juliet going to help you find your lost golf balls this afternoon?
She's gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. It's really weird. I mean,
I bet it's very quiet around there.
Yeah. She was always right here.
Yeah, right.
She heard me in one big call that was, you know, I'm doing this project to improve the diversity in our industry. And I was on with the Morgan State president of, you know, and his dean of business school and the provost and the dean of another university, and everybody's introducing each other. And she just sat there the whole time and listened to the whole thing and then discussed it at dinner as a 6-year-old.
Well, that's good. That's good for her to be exposed to that.
I said, Juliet, you're almost ready to be my intern. You just need to learn Excel and a few other things. You can plug right in here.
Hey, how long are you going to be? Are you going to be in Florida till the spring?
I am.
All right.
They'll be coming down in the spring, but they're going to United Kingdom for his Simon, her dad's mother is very ill, so they're going over for a couple of weeks over Christmas.
Gotcha. So you and your wife will be there in Florida for the holidays?
We will be here until probably May.
Okay. So if I wanted to mail you something, what's your physical address there?
We're on an island, so it's 351 Pilot Point Lane, Boca Grande, Florida, 33921.
Hold on, I can't write that fast and make it legible. 351 Pilot Point, is that Pilot Point one word or two?
Two words.
Lane.
Yeah.
And it's what? Boca Grande?
Yeah.
Grande.
Pilot Point Lane, Boca Grande, Florida, 33921. And the post office box, if it's USPC, is 2160. And you can't just put box. You got to put post office box, P.O. box.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
2160. Okay. And originally I was going to be gone next week, but I mentioned to you, I think last week, that we canceled our trip, our ski trip.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to notify your admin, but I notified this morning. So if it fits in your schedule, we can do a call next week. I'm happy to do that. If it doesn't fit your schedule, I guess I'll see.
Just email her and say, I'm back and I can do it. And if she's already booked that slot or you can't do it, then I let her run my schedule. So I don't interfere with it.
Sure. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's great for us. We keep moving and you're keeping up really well. And that's great, because usually at this time, people are wanting to kill me.
If I had 1,000 households, I could maybe have more empathy at that, but I haven't been there in a long time.
Right.
Most I ever got was 300, and that was too many.
It's too many.
300 is too many.
Anyway.
And, you know, I found that out during that downturn and even through the separation thing when I left Jones and all that stuff. You know, I found out, like, even those relationships I thought really deep, they could have been way deeper, you know. And
you know, people say that to me. I never want to go through another recession with 300 clients or 600 clients or whatever.
You can't get to all of them.
And it's just a nightmare because you feel guilty all the time. And they're almost crying by the time you get to them.
Yes.
So it's
I remember during the 08 downturn, 08-09, I remember like literally, you know, when I had 300 households back then, like I remember, you know, the phone was ringing off the hook because, you know, yeah. And I said, look, we got to categorize this like, you know, green, yellow, red. And like, if they're not on the green list, you got to put them 2 weeks out for a return phone call. Oh my gosh. They were like, we can't do that. I'm like, yeah, you can. I was like, if they're red and they leave, it's okay. But if they're green, they leave, it's not okay. But it was a nightmare. Yeah. I don't know why anybody would want to do that.
Because they're too lazy or too insecure to do the other.
That's a good point.
So, you know, I just preach what I preach and hope that people buy it.
Some people would rather have a lot of shallow relationships than a few deep relationships. Fortunately, we're not in that camp.
And they think they're going to lose people anyway, so more is better. And
yeah, it's a lack mentality.
Yeah, it's
abundance mentality.
A lack of confidence. So, anyway.
All right, either see you next week or next year, one of the two.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
To you as well.
Thank you.
I'm sorry you won't get to celebrate with Juliet, but I'm sure the cool thing is because of technology, you could do a Zoom call or a FaceTime and wish her a Merry Christmas.
We did Thanksgiving and Christmas with a little tree and presents and the whole thing.
Oh, good.
we had fun.
All right. Well, hey, have a great week. Appreciate you, Rob.
See you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you.